Ladies and gentlemen, happy Friday. Welcome to Group Chat.
Yes, big.
Big. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We are talking about Uber again. They got some earnings out and we want to talk about numbers. We want to talk about how we feel about them. We're talking about Disney and Netflix taking a stand on this abortion issue. Mm-hmm. Interesting information on Google. We're going to talk about NBA. We're going to talk about everything from Bronny, LeBron James' son, to Drake's behavior leading into the finals. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of NBA, a lot of basketball talk. We're talking about our amazing news for our friends over at Revolve.
Wow.
This is so big, big time for our friends over at Revolve, and we are excited about it.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about this.
Trump is losing his shit over really, really minor issues.
He's a POS.
He's a good old-fashioned POS. We got an update on R. Kelly. We haven't talked about R. Kelly for quite a while, and it looks like...
He's not in jail yet.
He's not in jail yet, but damn it, it looks close. And then bad news for all you sparkling water lovers. LaCroix is having some trouble, and it looks like there are a bunch of sparkling liars. Guys, hit us up on Instagram, at GroupChatPod. The only thing we ask, if you like the show, if you get... literally anything out of it, share it. That's where all of our marketing comes from.
I have one more ask.
You do have an ask.
I need you guys to come out on Sunday and vote for me. You have to live, work, or be a community stakeholder.
Which means just about anything.
It means you visited West Hollywood.
I have to believe you show up and be like, yeah, yeah, I'm at a rummy club.
Whoa, I am not...
I would like to say,
because
I won't even
things.
Be there. I would like to say, I believe you could kind of show up and just support your boy and raise your hand or say I or whatever they do.
If you're interested, come to Pan Pacific Park. I'll be there from 11:30 to 6 p.m.
That's Woo! A marathon.
That is a marathon. I'm committed.
For office.
I'm going to be going into Erewhon, convincing people to vote for me.
When do you know if you won?
I think I can eyeball if I'm going to win. By like 3-4 o'clock.
Yeah, you're right.
Exit polling.
You're right.
Can we get a profile of your competitor?
There's like a bunch of people running.
Can we try to maybe like slander?
I mean, look, there's a lot of Hasidic Jewish people I'm running against.
You know about those Hasidic Jewish people.
Hey, what about them?
I'm not going to say anymore. The last one didn't go over too
How do you think about campaign finance reform? Well, who's funding these elections?
We need to know.
We have no money in our campaign. We're literally trying to piece
Are
together.
Are you taking money from lobbyists?
How do you feel about abortion?
Do what you got to do. Just vote for me.
Guys, here we go. Group chat time.
Cash.
Ladies and gentlemen, group chat.
Cash.
It's $1 trillion. Hot.
Ladies and gentlemen, happy, happy Friday.
Woo-wee.
We made Woo. It.
Are you ready for some group chat?
Are you ready for some group chat? I just got to say, once again, we do have no problem bragging on this show. I would like to say that I'm not sure why, because I didn't feel it, but our listeners are saying that this week, our two episodes were our top two episodes ever.
And I think Wednesday might have been the biggest downloaded day.
Was it?
Yeah, I looked it up. I was like, damn, that number looks high.
I have a new thing where I don't check until the end of the week because I realized I was spending too much time clicking and reclicking the numbers all week.
I've decided.
I look at the week's numbers and judge from there.
Oh, God, it's probably some dorky shit you read in a book.
You should only look up stats at the end of every week to have perfect optimization of happiness and
trying to optimize
efficiency.
Happiness. Listen, either way. We're getting good feedback.
Yeah, great feedback.
So I guess we're just finding a groove and the people are appreciating it. So people, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
I want to start this episode out with a little bit of a shout out. Speaking of our listeners and speaking of the constant support we get, one of our listeners, Frankie Gonzalez, apparently is a little under the weather. And I heard that he's a massive group chat fan.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to give a huge shout out to him and say, feel better soon.
Yes,
hopefully
please.
You're listening
feel better.
To this.
We're rooting for you.
We're rooting for you, man. And, you know, everything's going to be all good. And we're going to pull you along with some good entertainment, not only on today's episode, but moving forward forever.
Do you know why? Because we're funny.
And?
Shut the fuck up.
Or exciting.
It's our affirmation. I learned about this from Tony
Robbins.
This is
like chanting, right?
Yeah.
This is like your TM, you know, you have to come up with like a chant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an affirmation learned from a Tony Robbins seminar right before the massages started.
Ooh.
Okay. Let's get into some news. Mm-hmm. We have some Uber earnings. Now that Uber is a publicly traded company, we get all the joys of such with things like earnings reports.
Mm-hmm.
How are we looking?
They did exactly what we expected them to do, and they lost $1 billion last quarter.
That's 3 months.
3 months, $1
billion. Three?
That's what? Impressive.
That's impressive.
Imagine if impressive they lost two. Stock would have popped.
Yeah.
Stock? And did the stock crumble because of it?
No, the stock's up, marginally up right now, sure. Rewarding the $1 billion loss. Oh,
but this God. Is like the stupid thing about the public markets
yep.
is guidance and what you predict is going to happen
yep.
always dictates stock performance. So like, yeah, we told you we're going to lose $1 billion. What's the big deal, guys?
So they're getting rewarded for knowing they were burning cash.
They were up on, they beat revenue expectations on Uber and Uber Eats.
What's revenue Q1?
It is 3.1 billion and they're expecting 3.04 billion. So, I mean.
Uber Eats is growing pretty rapidly, but they lose money on the orders. So like when you order from McDonald's, Uber is losing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so good. It's such a good
business.
Yeah. This is insane, man.
And everyone's happy.
Everyone's happy. We're just okay with this. And we're just hoping that one day they figure it out.
Yeah. You know, you're just hoping one day drivers expect to get paid no money and drive everyone for free. And then that's when they drop
robots.
That's so awesome.
Autonomous cars. That's it. I honestly think the entire company is betting on autonomous cars.
But and they're not suited to win that battle.
They don't have the technology.
Yeah. Meaning that there's so many competitors with way more cash.
Yeah, there's only one person with an autonomous car on the road right now, and it's Tesla.
Yeah, and Waymo and Google are partnered with Lyft.
Yeah.
So
you don't
Google
need Lyft or Uber, but you don't need Lyft or Uber. Once you have the car, you don't need anybody.
There's an argument that mapping data is really important for self-driving cars. Oh, meaning, so like Lyft and Uber have so much data on transportation, and it helps.
Okay, I'll counter that. When the guy who picks me up in an Uber, he uses the Uber map, I beg him, please. Uber map is literally from this office. You know where I live. There's one street you have to take. They refuse to take that street. They end up on these zigzag roads. I'm here 15 minutes late. Uber maps is purposely longer so they could charge you more for the ride.
It's a good conspiracy theory.
It's just a shitty platform.
Why don't you just
Waze is just better.
You know how pathetic, I don't know how you guys have experienced it. I actually tweeted this a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
When I open the Uber map and I say click to pick up, it's minimum 2 to 3 blocks away from where I am.
That happens a lot on mine.
Mine is way longer.
I have a thing. Let me tell you my glitch.
No. Meaning I'm at Wilshire Boulevard.
Yeah,
putting me on Sunset.
That's what I'm saying. Why? That's what I'm telling you. Uber and Lyft are not.
So you're saying Uber Maps is going to give shitty data to up self-driving cars?
Yeah, I have a thing where when I open my Uber, it automatically has requested a car to my home, no matter where I'm at. And I have to cancel it and pay $10.
Wow.
To open the app.
Cost you $10 just to open the app.
Yeah. And if I'm not at home,
so
it's
you're
another
a profit
10.
Center. You're the only way Uber gets to
I mean,
make
I'm
money.
The only hope for Uber.
So let me give you a trick on that because I. Whenever anything like that happens, I cancel and I immediately say, I want, like, something went wrong. Yeah. They always refund me.
Yeah, I know that it would.
Yeah, the moment you complain, it's an automatic refund.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Imagine
that's
how
with
much
all
they're
the platforms.
Refunding. Imagine how many people are gaming that system.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
I refund. I mean, every time I get, like, sometimes it's, like, 10 minutes away, which is ridiculous for Uber for a densely populated area where I live in. And then all of a sudden it's 15 minutes away. I'm like, and now they're charging me $5?
Yeah, and I think LA is the number two market, or three, for Uber globally.
Who's bigger?
New York, San Francisco.
Even though
San Francisco
is
so small,
New York's really big.
Okay, listen, I don't know. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me, but those are the facts.
Yeah,
so,
the more money they do in revenue, the more they lose, and it's kind of pacing.
Yep.
That's not a good sign.
No. Okay, here's a question for both of you. You know how at the end of your ride, you rate your driver, and the driver rates you?
Yeah.
Out of 5 stars. Mm-hmm. You could rate Uber as a business. How many stars do you give it?
Good question.
I give him a 2.5.
Not bad. Not bad.
I'll give him a 3.
Okay.
Not because I think the model proves well from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
But they did revolutionize transportation. They just didn't revolutionize it profitably.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I could revolutionize a lot of things.
If I don't have to make money, I could revolutionize a lot of things.
Give me $1 billion a quarter, I'll revolutionize so much shit.
And that's the genius of it. Because granted, plenty of people got rich off Uber, and then good for them. But our lives changed.
Yeah.
Like, think about how much more convenient our lives are because Uber exists.
It's true. It's true. Okay, so here's the reason why I asked. Uber apparently now is planning to ban riders that have too low of ratings.
Fuck that.
Fuck that?
Yeah, I'm not down with that. Who are you?
Here's my question.
Who are you?
Here's my question. Do I have the power to ban a driver?
Yes.
Because there's some shit drivers out there, and I just want to know this works both ways.
Because I don't want to mess with people's livelihoods. I give everyone a 5-star. Even when I have a bad drive, I give everyone a 5-star.
I do too.
Same.
So I'm out here handing out 5s.
Yeah.
I don't want one question of what I get.
Do you know your rating?
Yeah.
We should all look at ours.
Gone up?
Yeah.
Oh, you can look at it on your app?
Right now. Yeah. You just go to Uber.
Gosh, whoever gets the highest rating wins.
My rating has exploded high. It was very low a year ago.
I'm so polite. Mine has to be amazing.
Oh, I'm killing it.
What are you?
4.84.
Wow.
Yeah. Whoa. Hold on. Let me give my last driver 5 stars. Okay, hold on. Where am I at? Menu.
Just click the top left button.
What are you?
4.84.
Fuck, I'm 4.81.
Wow.
Oh my God.
You're the worst.
By a lot.
What is it?
4.73.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
You probably get kicked off.
You're out of here, man.
Yeah.
You got to switch to Lyft.
They want to kick off drivers who have less than 4.0. Drivers.
Oh.
Well, first, they want to kick off drivers with 4.6 or lower in the future.
I like that.
That's pretty easy to get to.
Ban them. I've had a lot of lower than 4.6s.
And then they want to kick off riders also. But they haven't figured out the threshold.
It can't be 4.6.
No.
That's like one like puke in a car, bad night.
They're going to give you a warning. And then if you get kicked off, you can't use Uber Eats, the Jump electric bike, or the scooter.
I like the bike. Have you used it yet?
No.
The bike's cool.
It's electric?
So like you pedal 4 or 5 times and you just zoom in.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize they did that. I rode one of those wheels the other day and they were incredible.
Yeah.
I just don't like when the...
So do you know what this indicates to me? That clearly they're doing something to incentivize drivers that they're going to have a better experience because their business, they already know they have us all hooked, right, as riders. Their problem is keeping drivers on the platform because their retention isn't good.
Okay, pay them more money. Yep. Me being nicer does not solve that problem. I would be treated like shit in real life if I knew I got paid more money.
So that $1 billion, that $1 billion should be $3 billion.
What?
$1 billion lost.
That's what I'm saying.
The $1 billion is actually $3 billion.
I don't even like. I don't like that. Like, they get to rate us. I'm not dead with that.
Yeah, but there's some people that are just.
I mean, we have friends that they should not be writers, and I won't name their names, but I feel bad if they have to pick them up.
I agree. It's just, but it's the service. It's like.
Yeah, but you're,
that's like all fact. Think about all.
You can get kicked out of a restaurant for that. They have the right to refuse service to anyone.
Yeah, they don't refuse anybody.
Well, Meek Mill got refused.
Well, that's for other reasons.
I don't think that was for his behavior. I don't know, man. They're obviously doing something because of also doing. I think it's really interesting the move of the like quiet mode, which I used the other day.
Yeah,
worked amazingly.
Yeah. But here's why. I know for a fact. The Uber Black product does not have a quiet problem. It's in the Uber X product.
Yeah.
Why are they only offering it to the Uber X or Uber Black?
Because one of the reasons have you ever looked at the application if you want to be a driver for Lyft or Uber? Meet new people, blah, 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 blah. They're selling it to the
community.
Like the questions I get asked when I'm in an Uber are insane.
Uber X, not Uber Black.
Uber Black too. They go, everyone goes, because they're all usually Uber Black. I get a lot of like guys that look like they're Indian. And then after 5-10 minutes, they'll ask you, oh, where are you from? LA. You Indian? I was like, great.
Is that your Indian accent?
That's, no, it's because I mean, they're not even, they're just like, they're like Turkish, but they watched like two Hindi movies 15 years ago, and they think we have like some, we're like brothers.
Yeah. We'll turn them off. Now you can hit
community.
The button.
Community.
It is, I mean,
gotta stay
it
bonded.
Literally goes from my ethnicity to, what are you doing tonight? We're going to have a big party night? Because
when
know,
people ask
off.
You, what do you do for a living? What do you say?
I say I'm a fashion designer.
Do you? That
yes.
probably sparks 12
yeah, you're
other questions.
You're stupid. I say I work at a clothing company. It's terrible.
No, I
yeah,
say
I
fashion.
Say I work at a clothing company. Like, what do? I deal with the boring stuff.
Yeah.
I tell them. I tell. Yeah, I even say it's even sexier than what I actually do. Because I want to see where the conversation goes.
So you do this to yourself.
But
you
why
idiot.
Are you asking the question?
Now you're complaining about it because you told him you were
You told me you were
Galliano.
Virgil.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And they'll be like, you hiring? I'm like, no. We're not hiring.
Yeah, you deserve everything you get.
One of my best friends who travels a lot for work, and he flies all the time, first class, and he always gets, whenever someone tries to start a conversation, they're like, what do you do? He says, I'm an insurance broker. He says it absolutely ends the conversation. Yeah. There's zero interest.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm gonna use that. I just don't really look like
I'm going to come up
broker.
With something else.
Yeah, something boring, dude. Stop telling him exciting shit. And
I'm a stereo repairman.
Yeah. Wait, stereo?
Why stereo? Yeah.
No, because they have a stereo. What if their stereo's broken?
Home entertainment only.
Thank you.
Home entertainment.
Clarify.
You should say you shine shoes.
They'll be like, what do you say? Like, what kind of shoes?
You're a plumber.
Yeah. A plumber, they're going to be in their house 20 minutes.
Right, right. Okay, we got to move on. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. Luckily, none of us are getting banned. I want all of our listeners, hit us up on Instagram and tell us what your rating is.
And I've vomited in two Ubers, and I still have that rating. Full-blown vomited.
Do you give them cash when you do that?
I gave him a tip. I gave him a $100
tip. I've never vomited in an Uber. How do you have a higher rating than me?
Yeah, that's a joke.
I'm generous.
Yeah, but how are you generous?
As a home? Because I gave him $100.
You puked in two Ubers, and you have the highest rating of all of us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like full-on vomit on the freeway with splashing back into the car and on my face.
Oh, that was after that concert.
Future Drake yeah. concert.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, what a time to be an Uber driver. Holy cow. Okay, next up. It looks like there is, you know, all of these abortion issues are causing quite a bit of problems. Mm-hmm. More so than just, you know, hashtags on social media and all of the outrage. Big companies like Disney and it looks like Netflix are thinking about sort of banning Georgia from their list of places where they do production.
Yeah.
So they're going to ban it in order to push back and show that they don't agree, which I think is awesome. What's going on here? Do you think it'll work? What are we doing?
Yeah, they pretty much have said if these things go into full law, mm-hmm. then new productions would be considered to move elsewhere. I mean, the reality is that it's actually a great move because all anyone ever cares about is actually money. Mm-hmm. And places like Georgia have benefited from like a ton of new film production, whereas a state like California, where taxes are high and the cost of filming is so expensive, has lost a lot of business. So I think it's a great opportunity for the state, other states to recruit for production. But Georgia's built out a lot of infrastructure for this. They can't afford to lose it. I think headline-wise, it's good. It scares people. Like, yeah. Are you willing to lose your job over this?
Yeah.
Like, someone who voted, a senator, a state senator that pushed this forward but has constituents that are employed by the entertainment industry, and you have to go now answer to them and say, hey, these guys are going to, Disney's leaving?
Yeah.
Stranger Things is gone?
Yeah.
How am I going to feed my kid?
Yeah.
That's all anyone can, that's what gets you elected, not abortion.
Yeah, so kind of the backstory of how these states get all the movie and TV production, or hosting them, is they get crazy incentives, uh-huh. right?
That's subsidies, why, yeah.
Subsidies, tax incentives, and I think it's great because hopefully it forces people to vote.
Yeah.
Anything to get people to vote, yeah. and stop complaining on Twitter. Just complain at the ballot boxes. Yeah. I'm for that.
Yeah, good luck. I think people are not going to vote and they're going to hope that Netflix and Disney come in and solve it. You know, like, oh, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
solve
I mean,
this.
Voting turnout, I don't expect any election going to be good.
Yeah, but it's devastating, I'm assuming, for these communities
yeah.
that, you know, Ozarks being filmed, Stranger Things, like the restaurants, the hotels nearby, yeah, everything. Think about it. When a production comes into town,
they spend big and they overpay.
Yeah. Even catering. You know, these companies are spending on catering.
I'll tell you what, though, all the people that I'm guessing, don't want to generalize, most of the people that are fighting against abortion also don't like Hollywood bullshit either.
So then
but they like their jobs.
They do, but they're, I would argue, I'm making too many guesses. I would say I would argue the type of people that work on those sets and stuff like that probably don't care.
No, so the people who work on the sets are imported from Hollywood.
Got it. It's the surrounding businesses.
It's the surrounding businesses that are going to get affected.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because that's what Bob Iger says. He goes, I don't think my production company or the people we put on set are going to be comfortable working in a state that has these laws.
Yeah, because if it's like some powerful actress, she'd be like, I'm not working there.
But I'm just saying, if you own the local restaurant and you're super anti-abortion, you're just going to hate Hollywood more. You're not going to.
But when you can't make rent.
We can squeeze them out. I like it when these big companies like stand behind something. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
We ready to keep moving?
Yeah.
All right. I want to touch on this thing real quick. This article that came out talking about Google. Apparently, Google has more contract and temp workers than employees total. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. What do you guys think?
It's crazy. So they have 121,000 temps and contractors around the globe as of March, but only 102,000 full-time employees.
What do you think that is? Like, what do you think that's of? Why?
I think it's a combination of there are a ton of positions that allow, like Google probably has, maybe customer service, for example, that allows people to work from home. And there are a ton of positions that I'm sure in a lot of engineering cases that are like contract time-based. I'm 1 year, I'm at Google. Because like even some, I think maybe our Facebook rep or someone was that, they were a temp for 6 months because of a medical leave from a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And they were only there for 6 months. And they were not employees of Facebook, but they knew the position. They knew how to handle the role. And it was a cheap way for Facebook to plug a hole and not actually have to hire an employee. Hiring an employee, giving them benefits, paying for their parking, all the snacks that these fucking people eat.
He hates the snacks.
I hate snacks, huh?
Starve them.
You want to get rid of that kitchen ASAP.
Yes.
You guys have a big kitchen at 5'4"?
No, we have the same size, but you know, the snacks are just flying in there.
Yeah, you have a lot more people.
Well, it's just like, why are there 14 flavors of chips? And why are they all gone in by Friday?
I think people don't eat. You know, there's free. Hey, you know what? Screw it.
You mean they're not going to lunch and they're relying on the snacks?
Or they're not eating breakfast at home before, because that entails like grocery shopping and whatever. Yeah. You just come in, have a few bags of chips.
Well, I know no one's eating breakfast at home because the moment our start time hits, everyone's downstairs at Lisa's.
You got to go get breakfast.
Yeah. 45-minute breakfast and start your day.
And we have a 10 a.m. start time. It's not early.
No. And I bet you Google, there's some guy at Google, some genius goes, we shouldn't hire these motherfuckers. You know why? These guys don't do shit. And it's so much cheaper. It's better to overpay, in my opinion, for contract work than have full-time employees in a lot of these positions.
So I'll tell you, for our companies, I don't even know if you guys know this, a full-time employee, salaried employee, when you count workers' comp, payroll taxes, snacks, medical benefits, snacks, parking, it's 16% above whatever salary you think you're paying.
60 or 16?
16.
16.
Sheesh.
I think it's more once you add the food and snacks.
And that, that's sub snacks.
And all the food, you know, and the barber and the nails and the this.
Yeah, we got to go downstairs and make some cuts.
Yeah.
A lot of people getting moved to contract.
And then whenever someone leaves, we always have a bill downstairs at Lisa's because no one's paying.
Yeah.
You know, that's how shady people are.
So for our listeners, we have a little cafe at the bottom of our building, and the nice, generous lady down there will let you run up a tab and pay it off. And so a lot of times people have quit or been fired from here, and Lisa will come upstairs and be like, hey, so-and-so left a bill for like $227 downstairs, and we have to pay it.
Deadbeats.
That's 18%.
Yeah, but I also think this goes to the point I always bring up. No one wants to work in an office. So if you look at all the same study showed that if you almost all the job growth between 2005 and 2015 has come from these alternative work.
They call it informal work.
like, yeah, I'll, yeah, informal work, basically freelancers, 1099 contractors, yeah. And people prefer the like get four paychecks from five companies, yeah, or four companies and don't do anything for any of them, but yeah, you fly under the radar. Yeah. That's the hustle.
Yes, yeah, that's literally workforce 2019.
Yeah, don't actually
just don't take enough money where they care.
Yeah,
and you have to be accountable.
Yeah,
but get enough where you can get all those checks from four different companies.
Yeah, you could teach like an online class in that. It'd probably do really well.
No, what people don't understand in this like gig economy, take just enough money for you to be happy, but that we don't know that you're not on our cut list. You're like, yeah, oh, this guy makes two
but
grand
do that
a month.
From three companies, yeah, and you're really happy.
Yeah, exactly. And so like when you're charging $2,000 a month, for companies our size, we don't even like blink at $2,000 a month. Yeah. But like if you're charging us eight, we're like, who's this guy? Who are we paying $8,000 a month to?
Oh, that's good. Okay.
What the hell is he doing?
So that's... no shit Google's doing it.
Yeah.
And so I'm surprised it's not significantly more. I'm surprised it's not 50,000 employees and 250 contractors.
And probably that's where it's heading.
Yeah, I'm
and
sure.
And especially
it's
for a company like Google, the benefit packages are probably so rich.
You talk about snacks. Have you been on the Google or Facebook campus?
You know what they.
I've never been, but I'm just guessing it's.
We will
incredible.
Go next time, either in New York or
we should just go for the snacks. No, just set up a fake meeting with some Facebook growth person and be like, we're. We want the food store.
You have no idea at Google, like especially Google headquarters, like Palo Alto or New York, it is not snacks. It is full, like this is the Mexican cuisine area and it's whatever you want. Then there's like, their snacks is like everything.
Yeah.
Then there's like all the different types of beer. And then there's just, people are gaining 10 to 100 pounds working at Google.
Yeah, for free.
The last time I went to Facebook, I'm sure it's not, like unique to anyone that works at Facebook. We're walking out and there's like a bike repair shop that's on the house.
Yeah.
So if you have like a bicycle and your bike's fucked up, they'll fix it for you.
Wow. Sheesh. Okay. Well, listen, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
And we need to make some changes after this podcast.
And they give pet insurance, Google and Facebook.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. Let me talk about something else I want to change.
Okay.
Drake.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I love him. Favorite artist of all time.
Okay.
But I made him my loser last week because of the way he's just going nuts at the Raptors games. And apparently, leading up to the finals with the Raptors and Warriors, the NBA has apparently spoke to the Raptors about him, about his behavior, about what's acceptable and what's not on the court during those games. Number one, what do you think? Number two, what's your prediction of Drake's presence? Anand, you said you didn't think he would ever even be at Oracle, right?
No, I said I was wondering which Silicon Valley billionaire is a mercenary selling their seats to Drake.
And D said he might not even go to Oracle.
I just don't see him going to Oracle.
So do you think that number one, we're split on you think he'll be at Oracle, you don't.
Yeah.
Number two, what do you think his behavior will be? Do you think he'll be forced to chill out?
I mean, the first thing is, I think this is super whack of the NBA.
Really?
Because, think about it. NBA ratings are down this season, okay? The biggest star on the Raptors is Drake.
That's a fact.
The biggest star on the team.
Yes.
Yeah, got it.
I think he has a locker in the locker room. So he should say he's on the team.
He should have a locker.
He should be on the
bench.
Just
stay off the damn court while the ball's in play.
Nah, I like that. I like the antics. Like, think about it. Do you remember, like, Jack Nicholson? It's just like...
Yeah, it's sitting.
Nah, he used to be up when he could stand up.
No, Spike Lee was the closest we had
Spike
in terms of
crazy.
He was throwing the choke signal to Reggie Miller in the 90s.
On the court while he was
on the court.
He's
courtside and Reggie.
They used to really
Drake's
talk
on
shit.
The court. You don't got to massage the coach.
I like that.
Just do a little less.
I just think that like
30% less.
NBA.
Oh no, Reggie did the choke signal. Sorry, but yeah, Spike was interacting with him.
We don't even have like, in my opinion, like the marquee matchup that people want to see. So it's like, why not give another reason to watch? And if it so happens to be a super fan of another team that happens to be one of the biggest artists in the world, you should let him do whatever he wants because we want to watch that. There's a lot of people who don't really like basketball that might just watch it because of Drake. I think just millions of people are going to watch it because of Drake.
So I definitely agree.
With who?
With D.
Shit.
Meaning I'm the biggest basketball fan ever. And I think Drake is incredible for what's going on.
Outside of Kawhi Leonard.
This is ridiculous. Keep him off the court.
Name a player on the Raptors that's not Kawhi Leonard.
Kyle Lowry.
Wow.
Wow.
That's name amazing. Another.
Can't do it. Aubrey Graham.
But you have, I mean, at Media Day, all they ask, I mean, not, they, not all, but every reporter asks Clay, like, what do you think about Drake? Are you going to, and your pregame, are you going to fast forward when your Drake song comes up on your playlist?
I like, know, but stay off the damn court when the, like, just be crazy within a certain level of boundaries.
I think God. It's whack how it leaks,
stop
too.
Stop the WWE.
If you really want to talk to Drake, back channel.
Yeah. Don't, it shouldn't be public.
Shouldn't be public. Here's Drake's too big.
If I'm Drake,
that's what happens when you're that big, though, right? Is you're allowed to do all the crazy shit, but also the NBA wants to
reel
get
you
some
in.
Press off of the fact that they talk to you. Everyone wants to.
If
the biggest star we got.
If I'm him, I keep going nuts. What can they fine him that he can't afford?
Well, forget the fine. They could ban him.
They're not going to ban him. That's bad. That's so bad for the sport. They don't even ban people yelling racial slurs barely. You're going to ban a guy because he's excited?
I don't know, man. You're up against, I mean, the Warriors are going to be pissed. What are they, four-time champions? How many times have they won now?
They love it. You know Steph wants to hit a three and talk shit to Drake. That's what we want to see.
Yeah, I want to see the back and forth between Drake, Steph, Klay, and Draymond.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Draymond and Drake?
I want to see all that. I just want him to stay on the damn court and not with the massages.
Okay, so as long as he's not on the opposing team's bench, if he stays within his confines of his 4x4 feet of courtside real estate he has, what's the issue?
No issue. Just don't cross that line. Stay in your lane, Drake.
Oh, God.
No? No one? No one's with me?
We're Team Drake.
Ridiculous. I am too.
And we hate the Warriors.
Okay. Next up. Barack and Michelle Obama have been getting into the production game. Did a Netflix deal, have a bunch of shows coming, all that stuff. Seems like old loser Hillary Clinton and her daughter.
Crooked Hillary.
Old crooked Hillary. And her daughter are trying to follow suit, and they're forming a production company.
Yeah.
What are they up to? What kind of content are they pushing out?
I think I've voted for all the Clintons.
Yep.
I'm a huge fan of the family. I don't like this. I think it's a little crickety.
Crickety or crookedy?
Crickety.
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 Yeah, but crooked.
Because is it crooked media?
Yeah. Because to me, it's like, obviously, they're going to get a deal, they're going to get it done, whatever, but they've never historically don't feel like, if Bill Clinton did it, it'd be so much different because he's always been out there and like, there's clear causes that you can identify Bill Clinton with, whereas Hillary has just not been that. I don't know, that you just never felt that connection with her.
Well, yeah, that's why she lost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she's a robot.
Yeah, and I think for her to put out content, I get everyone should put out content, everyone should have a podcast, all that bullshit.
Yeah, but this is counter to your whole
Yeah, but like, mantra. I just don't think she has an emotional connection with people that you have to have to put content out.
It feels to me like everything she does is an attempt to connect that's poorly executed. Yeah. Everything. Like, you've seen her even at some of the debates and stuff. You can tell it's like, you're trying.
Yeah.
But you're just missing big time.
Yeah, and I think if she says, you know what? I'm going to do a documentary.
About Monica Lewinsky.
I'd watch it. But if she said, I'm going to do content about being transparent of how I felt when my husband was president and what he did to my career, what he did to my future. Like, talk about it.
Yeah, she would never.
But I will say, no one expected Al Gore, who also had some of the same flaws about connecting with voters, who lost.
I know, but people did not hate Al Gore.
Sure, but he's made a huge career putting out content.
Yeah, but
he found a passion.
Yeah, climate change, sure.
He found a thing and became like the face of it. What's her thing?
Yeah, she needs to
find bombing. Let me tell you about drone strikes.
Pro or against?
Super pro. So the documentary on drone strikes by Hillary Clinton was out. It's called Drone Thugs in Harmony. and be on the lookout. Netflix.
Or Benghazi. She could talk about Benghazi.
Yeah, but I don't think she wants to go there.
The source?
Benzino.
That's okay. Good.
All right. Next up, I want everyone to just pull your mics away from your face real quick and follow me. That, my friends, is to celebrate the massive, massive win of our good friends over at Revolve.
Yes.
We got an IPO coming.
They have filed.
They did it.
They are coming out next week.
Ah, that's so big, man.
And it looks like it could be Friday.
Yeah, it looks like it prices aftermarket Thursday, trading on Friday.
And guess what? You want to know something about Revolve?
What?
They did over $500 million in revenue. Okay? Sheesh. They're profitable.
Sheesh. Uh-oh.
Have no debt.
Sounds like a not going to work.
Sounds scary.
Yeah, we're going to need to buy a furnace and light some cash on fire real quick.
This is crazy because, like, their numbers are out and they had net operating profit last year of $41 million and net income last year of $30 million. They're predicting over $50 million this year. Over 500 and something million in sales this year as well. I mean, the business is really healthy. They have 53% gross margin, which is also really healthy.
I can't believe they're that profitable.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I know you're probably listening. But I'm just saying, like, I just kind of thought, you know, we know a lot of companies that are really big and that are technically profitable, but the profit is, like, just enough to say profitable.
Yeah.
That's, like...
That's real money.
That's real money.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
And if you really look at, like, what... They're being, it looks like they're going to price somewhere in the low 1 billion range, which will be around 2x sales, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And if you compare it to Stitch Fix, it's about the same metrics, mm-hmm. which is about 2x sales. But Stitch Fix is nowhere near profitable as Revolve. They're trading 50x earnings, Stitch Fix is.
Mm-hmm.
This would be trading, if it prices at a little over a billion, would be trading like 20x. With the no debt. And then you look at a company like Farfetch, which I would argue, people are going to tell me it's not in the same space, but I do think it's in the same space,
mm-hmm.
is bleeding money and is valued like, I don't know, 15x revenue. It's really interesting. It's like, it's priced extremely fair.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I don't think, I was just talking to someone in the office about this. The average person covering Revolve, let's say the banker, the investor, right? It's probably a man. Mm-hmm. Right? Who has no sense of what this business is really about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny how it's being worded. So like, I this is why I think there's an interesting opportunity with Revolve. They're saying their private brands is accounted for, a healthy percentage of their overall business. What people don't understand is they're treating it like it's a Macy's private brand or it's an Amazon private brand. No, their private brands are Girlfriend Denim. And stuff like Girlfriend Denim. I literally was at dinner with my wife and some friends of hers. It was a 30-minute conversation about which style of Girlfriend Denim all three of them had on. And these are like in the bubble LA girls that want it fashion all the time, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is not a private brand. And that's how people are viewing it. They're mm-hmm. just like, oh, that's a margin builder. No, one of those brands is going to break out
mm-hmm.
and going to be this massive business. They have 19 of them. Maybe three could break out. And I just think that the way they're looking at and valuing the business is an interesting opportunity for people that believe in their vision longer term. Because I'm just shocked at how people are looking at it. Like those private brands are just like private label. Like it's the Macy's Inc. brand.
Yep.
Right.
Which is not. Yep. It's totally not. Anyone who shops that store knows how coveted that Revolve private label business is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So first of all, super happy for them. Going public is an insane accomplishment. Like it's fucking impossible.
Yeah.
It is impossible. It's literally impossible.
Yeah.
So awesome for them. Super happy. To your point about investors only understanding what they know is like a serial problem.
Yeah.
So there's a reason why Peloton, even though I like the company,
mm-hmm.
keeps getting valued and keeps getting attracting insane amounts of capital.
It's because those schmucks write it. Because
the guy who's writing the check is at home riding his Peloton reading the next deck.
Yeah.
And it's why Allbirds. Who wears Allbirds? Silicon Valley investors.
Schmucks.
Schmucks.
And all schmucks.
This Schmuck happens factory. All the time. And Stitch Fix actually suffered from this early on.
Yeah.
Like she was unable to raise money because investors didn't understand. Like, who the fuck wants this?
This is why you need diversity at the top of why Wall Street needs more diversity. Because if there was more women in power, they would realize how big of an opportunity this business is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, like being in fashion and knowing the potential of those brands, one of those brands becoming to the next seven jeans or something like that, it's crazy. Then you have a $500 million business sitting in one of those brands. But unfortunately, it's a bunch of men wearing their stupid vests and their stupid shoes, and they're not going to get it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
I think you're right.
And being that they are an LA company, they are good friends, they did go to USC, like I obviously want them to win in every sense of the word. And I just, and I'm happy they're a billion-dollar company, so it's nothing to like sneeze about.
Yeah.
I just, when I read it, I'm just like, dude, they're dismissing some of the most valuable portions of the business because they don't understand it.
You know what I also loved? So they're obviously public figures. Yeah. Like they have a shit ton of followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
So it's pretty clear what's going on from their posts. Right? Yeah. They're in New York in front of like the stock. Morgan Stanley. Yeah. They didn't compromise their look. They look cool as fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Michael had on Jordan. I noticed that. And Raisa looked like she was on like an influencer runway model.
Yeah, they didn't try to compromise their look to please Wall Street investors, which is what I loved. Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what they wear when they ring in the bell.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be, they're so high profile of a company, they're going to want to have them on stage there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw how many shares Michael owns. He's really rich. I was looking through that S1 this morning. I was like, damn, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, life's good.
Life's good,
Over at the Revolve House. Listen, guys, you know, we're available for a live podcast. We like trips.
We like going around the world.
Yeah, the off-white that you sent was super appreciated. Whatever we can do. Okay. Okay, so congrats to those guys. That's just so cool. It's the only person, I'm sure you guys are around a little bit more of these higher end circles than I am. It's the first people that I've actually known personally that have truly founded a company and taken it public. Yeah. It's insane.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's crazy.
I've always thought of that as like something way beyond my...
And it's people that I actually like. Most people who do that I fucking hate.
Yeah. Okay, good news. Next up, in the pettiest story of the week, Donald Trump. Took a trip to Japan, and you know, John McCain, who is a, I would say war hero, is that a fair title?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, John McCain, who's a war hero, has a ship, the USS John McCain, a battleship that is in Japan. And Trump went to go visit Japan, and apparently they had to frantically make sure that the words John McCain were covered so that Donnie didn't have to see him. He's been notoriously, you know, he had some spats with John McCain.
Yeah, before he died.
Before he died. But man, talk about a whole new level of like, for whatever reason, you can't even see the guy's name on a ship.
Well, because, you know, the family kind of, when he passed, John McCain's family was like adamant that they did not want him present. All the other presidents were there. He's obviously just lashed at him post-death.
Yeah, still, he's been trampling on his grave since he's died.
Yeah.
Which is nuts, which that alone is so disrespectful.
Yeah.
And then you get to just to do things like this. It's pathetic that this guy is this petty.
So he claims that he was not involved in the decision-making, but it's clear his staffers knew it would piss him off.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something that you said that made people think they had to frantically figure that out.
Yeah. It just looked, we just look like idiots that we don't have like respect amongst our politicians.
So it was worth mentioning.
Yeah.
You know,
there's nothing really to talk about. It's just pathetic.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, let's go to way more positive news. And you know what? This one actually more ties into our Revolve story. Good news for you, Michael. Because apparently there's a problem in LA.
Yeah.
And that's that there's too many mega mansions.
Way too many.
So, Michael, the market's big. You can celebrate that IPO with a new mega mansion. It's funny that this story came out because I just went on, Tuesday or Wednesday with Kevion. He comes up here. Oh, it was Tuesday. He comes up here every Tuesday to go look at crazy houses. So he called me and said, hey, you want to come? You have an hour to come look at this house with me. I drove over, looked at this crazy house in Sunset Plaza. It was $40 million.
Great.
Unlike anything I had ever seen. It was all over my Instagram story. But apparently, there's a lot of those. Apparently, it's a problem.
There are over 100 homes asking over $20 million in Los Angeles County, 35 which are classified as spec homes, which means that someone bought a piece of property, like mowed down a house, built a home, some ridiculous, crazy-looking, modern, contemporary home, and thinks they can make a bunch of money on it. And the problem is there's a glut. There's just not enough buyers that can afford a $35, $40, $50, $60 million home. I mean, every day I follow Curbed, which is like a real estate thing in every little market has it. And I'll just be, there's just like $40, $50, $60 million homes on the market all the time. I mean, think about 100 homes that are in this range. There's, I get it, there's a lot of rich people in LA, but to clunk down 30, 40, 50 on a home is very few people can do that.
Yeah, I think it's few people who actually live, reside, and work in LA.
Yeah.
But you have so much foreign money that is fleeing countries where they don't think their money is safe, and they're parking in safe.
But there's a problem. Is they're not selling. They're just sitting on the market. I'm not saying that there isn't an opportunity to sell them, but like I think 100 might be too much.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe that's where
they're not selling. That's the problem. If they were selling, then there'd be more. There'd be 500 if they were selling.
Right.
I just think that like, and that's just LA County. I mean, like, think about it. There's a ton of homes in Orange County that can also have that. And there's people in Santa Barbara and Montecito with $50 million. I just think that, like, I get it. It is a desired place to live of the moment in the world. But it's crazy how many, I don't know. Obviously, I don't think there's like a, people are thinking at it from a data perspective. There's some guy right now that's buying a plot of land in Truesdale in Beverly Hills, going to mow it down and build some crazy home. But he's not looking at the fact that he goes, there's been 100 homes on sale that have not sold in the last year. Yeah. Should I be building this? No, it's just my cousin sold it, so I'm going to go do one too. They're not actually thinking it through.
Yeah.
And this is like going to cause a glut in this market. Plus, the other issue with it is, if you don't like that modern contemporary look, which like me personally, it's unlivable.
Yeah.
It's fine when you're a single dude and you're just throwing parties every night.
Like the Minecraft home. I've been there. That home is sick.
Yeah, but like when you actually like live in it, and then you go look at like some of the Beverly Hills Spanish style homes, which are so like cozy.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna clunk down 30, I want a house that's for the next 50 years, I could live in it. Those modern contemporary homes, I guarantee you, 10, 20 years from now, we're going to look at those and be like, those are a joke.
Yeah.
They're all going to get mowed down. No one wants to live like that.
I wonder. What if all the Silicon Valley money comes down here in the next 20 years and those things are just popping up left and right, just filled with dorks?
So the problem is
there's dorks and cocaine and modern homes.
There's dorks, Saudis, and Russians.
Dorks, Saudis, Chinese, Russians, and coke.
So there are areas where that'll happen, like the hills. There are a lot more.
But most of these have to be in the hills, don't you think?
Yeah, so because you know why? In like Beverly Hills, you cannot make like crazy exterior changes.
Yeah.
Without getting it approved, because they want the aesthetic of Beverly Hills to maintain a certain way. Yep. So those McMansions are usually in areas that don't have like a home society or something that doesn't protect the look of the home.
Yeah.
One quick thing on home prices. Mm-hmm. So I read a story, Steph Curry and his wife and family, this new stadium is going to be in San Francisco. So they're moving from the East Bay to San Francisco. And they said they had sticker shock when they looked at how expensive homes were in San Francisco. This is a guy that probably makes $80 million a year with endorsements.
Yeah.
And he's like, what?
Yeah, because he's going to live in like a box. He probably has land.
Yeah.
He's just chopper.
Yeah.
You got a chopper.
But the family wants to go to the games.
Chopper them. Double choppers. Get little Riley or what's her name? Get her in there.
Yeah, she'd love a chopper.
Yeah. Okay, next up, D, you're a big LaCroix.
Oh, do you know why you can't? I actually know this.
What?
You cannot land a chopper in San Francisco City proper.
Period.
Why, terrorism?
Sure, I know it's illegal.
So that seems like a flaw. There's too much money there.
I think it's a real gripe among a lot of rich people.
Yeah, the rich people want to fly above all the homeless people.
Yeah.
They don't want to see that.
That's funny.
Okay, D.
I think it's an emergency maybe, but not for commercial.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
LaCroix. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about it. You drink it.
Love it. I still drink it.
Still drink it?
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're liars?
I have no problem with that.
So you don't mind supporting just outright liars?
Obviously not.
Okay. The reason I ask is because apparently LaCroix is facing a big lawsuit for lying about, I'll let you tell us, but lying about their ingredients and stuff like that. And it's affected their sales.
So they used to claim that all their flavoring was all natural. And now they're getting sued saying that whatever the ingredient that they use is clearly not natural. And that they think that is the reason why their sales have dipped, which is by 10% in this last quarter.
Okay. I don't know if that adds up.
I'll tell you, I don't think it's because of that. I don't think anyone gives a shit.
I don't really think so either.
I think it is. I mean, have you, I don't know if you go to grocery stores, but if you go and look at the sparkling water section, the amount of competition
is crazy.
Bananas. Every single brand has their version of sparkling water now. And it's such a hot market that I think it's just, they were early in like branding it in a cool, fun way, and they rode that wave, and now it's just crowded. Yeah. Like, there's so many different versions of that, and they all kind of have their own little, you know, twist on it.
Yeah.
And so I just think that, like, they're not special anymore. That's all that happened.
Yeah.
And it's pretty scary, because I think these, I think when consumer companies start declining, it compounds and they fall off a cliff.
Yeah, I think the category is just crowded. I also think it's just, I don't know how you're going to win the battle.
I mean, we get pitched a lot of stuff, a lot of beverage companies.
Everyone wants to do beverage.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we still buy it for our snacks, for our employees.
Yeah. You should cut it, D. Be part of the 10% decline.
I want to cut the Perrier. That's more expensive. Why are we serving Perrier?
I don't know. I'm going to go make some changes after this podcast. I'm not kidding.
I want
Someone's moved a contractor, and we're getting Kirkland flat water. Yeah.
There's some weird snacks down there. Yeah. Like some of those bars, they got to go.
We got to clean it up. Someone's getting moved to contractor just for those snack decisions. Yeah.
And why are we getting a 5-gallon peanut M&M?
Someone's fired.
5-gallon peanut M&M?
Fired.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't like anything where like your loose hand goes in touch loose
There's a nuts. Lot of that down there. A
lot of loose hands.
A lot of loose hands
That's
and
how
jars.
We get, everyone gets sick. I understand there's a shovel, but you're sticking your dirty little hand on the shovel. Yeah. Everyone's touching the shovel.
There's like chocolate-covered almonds that are like that down there, crackers.
You should not be serving loose nuts. No new loose nuts.
There's a lot of loose hands grabbing loose nuts down in that office.
Yeah. I don't like it. Everything should be packaged.
Okay, we'll clean it up. Fired, contractor.
Package nuts.
And still tap water.
Yeah.
Pre-bottled. Reuse the bottle.
We have filtered water. Everyone needs to relax.
Right, we have a jug.
Yeah. No, it's like connected to the pipes.
It's great water.
Oh, you mean the actual tap?
Yeah. Yeah, it's tap that's filtered.
Let's wipe it all out. We just saved ourselves quite the budget.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, I wanted to ask you guys, saw this article. What's up with R. Kelly? Haven't heard about him in a while.
He, remember he had a song, Not Guilty?
I do remember that.
Remember him on Jay-Z?
Yeah.
It was a hot record.
Hot record.
He's guilty.
Oh, shit. Turns out that was a lie.
How is this guy still free?
I don't know, man.
Like, how much more evidence do you need?
How rich is he?
Not. He's broke.
So how's he finding these cases?
He's not. Remember some lady, like some businesswoman in Chicago bailed him out of jail.
Yeah, you're right.
He's broke.
So he's got indicted on 11 new charges, far more serious charges, faces 30 years.
He's done.
Seems like he needs more than 30.
He's 52. He'll easily live 30 more years.
Yeah, he's going to get out. He's
done. Good behavior. You're out in 20.
Might see a R. Kelly like reunion tour.
I wonder, okay, let me ask you this. You know, sexual crimes against minors are the most frowned upon thing in prison. Does that apply to R. Kelly as well? Does he get the shit kicked out of him in prison?
Yeah.
I mean, he's famous, so they probably have to put him in solitary, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, he can't just be out
for 20 years in solitary confinement?
Unless he entertains.
You'd go insane.
Unless he entertains. What if he goes every Friday, free show? You don't want to kick the shit out of him. He's got hits.
It's actually not a bad strategy.
If I go there, I go in there, look. Everybody.
Everybody, listen.
Listen. I know you guys want to anally rape me, but... Let me give you guys a suggestion. I probably have 50 to 60 songs that everybody loves.
Yeah.
I'll do 45 minutes every Friday afternoon. I'll do it in the yard. I'll do it outside. We can all enjoy it.
Yeah, you probably get some favorable treatment from the guards, too.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to see an R. Kelly show? That could probably be a Netflix special.
Pitch it.
R. Kelly from jail. People yeah. watch that.
It's like when Johnny Cash went and performed at Folsom.
Folsom prison.
Okay, man. Well, we'll see. I'm just curious how the rules apply to a superstar who also
normally
is a predator.
I think he would literally get the shit kicked out of him. Yeah. But I think he's going to do this concert deal.
You should
Live Nation.
It.
Live Nation prison.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, I wanted to talk a little bit about Bronny before we head into our winners, losers, and content. Bronny, LeBron James' son, who is 14 years old. First, we talked about how he launched a, finally got an Instagram page. He got like a million followers the first day. He's just on fire.
Yeah.
It looks like now his team, his AAU team, has a sponsorship.
Yeah.
From Flight Club.
Yep.
What's going on there?
Well,
seems like a brilliant move by Flight Club.
Well, the real story of the week, that I would say that's the sub story, that Flight Club is partnering with the AAU team. They're obviously all like kids that are going to have mega sneaker deals at some point.
Yep.
Everyone, social media follows these young basketball players. It's a, he's 14. Like, we want to see what, kids want to see what he's wearing. So it's a great deal.
Yep.
The big story, especially in LA, is Bronny transferred schools.
To where?
He was playing at Crossroads, which is in Santa Monica, which got famous years ago because Baron Davis went there. He also, another player is transferring from out of state, is Zaire Wade, which is D. Wade's son, which is so crazy. Imagine being the superstar duo.
So it's like a little mini Miami Heat.
And
it's
then,
a super team.
And then your kids get to play together.
Yeah.
And then they went to Sierra Canyon. Sierra Canyon is where near where we grew up, which is Northridge. It's like a sleepy private school in the valley.
Yeah.
Like, no one gave a shit about the school for, at least when we were there.
But they got known for basketball in the last couple of years because Scottie Pippen's kid
and Kenyon Martin's
kid went there. And they had another kid who was like a star player. So they started growing like a basketball follower.
But it's not near Brentwood.
No.
It's a trek for Bronny. I feel bad for the traffic for Bronny.
Minimum 1 hour.
Worse than Santa Monica?
Well, they live in Brentwood.
They live in Brentwood. Crossroads is probably 10 minutes away. Yeah, this is minimum 1 hour.
Bronny's getting up early.
Yeah. Or maybe he gets to show up whenever he wants.
Maybe he choppers.
Bronny might take the helicopter.
He could.
Yeah.
But we're hearing, this is an inside scoop story we're hearing.
Big inside scoop.
Who's involved in the AAU scene, saying that the reason why they transferred was that Bronny has three buddies that are on his AAU team that wanted to go to Crossroads. Apparently LeBron was open to housing these kids, you know, taking care of them from that level.
And hold on, let's add, these were kids from broken homes, apparently.
Got it.
And and so all the LeBron camp was telling Crossroads, give them scholarships. We'll take care of the rest.
Or even just let them in, because I'm sure LeBron would have paid the tuition.
Yeah. So we don't know if they were not.
But there's no way LeBron, if they said, you pay for it, we'll let him in. I 100% guarantee LeBron would be like, cool, here's the check.
So fast forward, apparently Crossroads played some funny game, did not want those kids to come. So he was like, oh, really? We're going to go across town and load up this basketball team with the best players in the goddamn country. Damn. I mean, this is an NBA basketball team.
Like D-Wade's kid is nice.
He's good.
Fucking good.
We know LeBron's kid is 100% going to the NBA. The other two kids are already the top prospects in the country.
Yeah.
Crossroads went from potentially one of the best programs to me, a laughingstock. And what's interesting is in this day and age when we're hearing about all the USC crisis, and that we talk so much on the podcast about opportunity, and Crossroads had a chance to give some kids an opportunity. And I don't know from Crossroads' perspective this is true, but this is what the rumor is in LA.
Yeah.
If this is true and Crossroads did that, fuck them.
And think about the opportunity Crossroads had to tell that story.
Yeah.
Like us and LeBron teamed up to
help three kids that came from broken homes think about if this is true, so it's still a big if.
Can I give you just a quick question? What would your percent of likelihood be that it's true?
Well over 50.
Yeah, I would say over 50.
Okay.
So if this is true, this is literally, you could change. So as good as these three basketball players are, I have no idea.
Yeah.
More than likely not going to the NBA.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? You're not going to have the entire team of Crossroads.
Well, the other four are.
No, Zaire Wade and LeBron Bronny are going to the NBA.
Yes.
Okay, that's a fact. But these other three kids, more than likely, probably not going to the NBA. Maybe they play D1. Going to a school like Crossroads can change their life.
Yeah.
And it could change the generation of like kids that came from a disadvantaged background.
Yeah.
So if this is true, it's like,
really, I think it's heartbreaking that this is how these schools act.
But, you know, now that this happened, my guess is LeBron's a very generous guy. He's going to make sure those three kids are going to get the best resources.
Yeah.
And I think they'll be taken care of. And it's a big win for the Valley.
Huge win for the Valley. My mom was excited because they're close by.
I think we got to go catch a game.
They cannot play in a high school gym.
Yeah.
Can you even go? Like, can you even watch?
I don't know.
I guarantee you they're going to play at CSUN.
Yeah.
They're going to have to play at a stadium.
It's amazing.
At least 3,000, 4,000.
I don't even know if CSUN has enough seating.
Yeah, where are they going
to? I'd go watch Bronny and Zaire.
100%. I'd go to that over a Laker game any day.
Yeah, of course.
Just, you know, the chaos.
And now they got the Flight Club sponsorship with the AU. They're going to have the hottest sneakers.
That's so good.
Yeah.
We got to go try to watch a game.
Yeah, we got to get tickets.
Okay. Use your Valley connections.
Yeah, I'm sure we have like a use whoever told
coach. You. I'm sure
the same
someone,
people who told you that story probably can get you tickets. Yeah.
Someone we know from our childhood is dialed in at Sierra Canyon. Yeah. Guarantee.
Okay, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's time to wrap up this week with our one and only segment.
Okay.
And that is the biggest winners of the week, biggest losers of the week, and content recommendations for the weekend. D, who would you declare the biggest winner of this week?
I just forgot.
Okay, on
it. I'll come back to it. I wrote it down. I just don't remember it now.
On it. Who do you declare the biggest winner of this week?
Oh, it's a no-brainer. It's Bronny. It's literally a no-brainer for
you're
me.
You're right. Good call. I wish I would have thought of that. He got Instagram.
He has 1.8 million followers. Drake follows him.
Can
Odell
you imagine
Beckham
that a week,
follows him.
A year ago, Bronny was like, you know, just a really good basketball player, but back in Akron, you know, living a pretty normal, like all things considered. Like now he's like in a mansion in Brentwood, going to Sierra Canyon with his buddy, little Wade. Like his life, now he's got Instagram. He's just, his life increased.
And he made the claim today that he's the best Fortnite player that plays basketball.
Wow.
I don't even know what
that
means.
Did he say that on Instagram?
Yeah. I'm very engaged with Bronny's Instagram.
Wow. Okay, well,
can you imagine what his DMs are like?
Oh my God.
I bet it's insane.
LeBron's got to control that.
I wonder what LeBron tells him. We were talking about this the other day, but LeBron does such a good job, equally as good as he does on the basketball court, of avoiding scandal and all the traps of superstardom.
Yeah.
And he has his whole career. I wonder what his Birds and Bees talks are with Bronny.
Yeah. I mean, because
they just
you.
Look like we have no idea what their family really. They look perfect, like the Taco Tuesday post.
Yeah,
how amazing that look!
Looks great.
Who's making the tacos?
Yeah, there was like a team back.
There was a whole team in the background.
There were so many people that weren't the James family in the videos.
Okay,
someone was massaging the meat.
Yeah, there was a whole. It's a whole process.
I found my winner.
Okay, who is it?
Adam Levine.
Wow, why? Because he sold his house to Ellen?
No, this guy walked away. What's his show, The Voice?
Yeah.
He walked away from $30 million a year for two more seasons. He had two more seasons signed on for $30 million a year, and he said no.
Well, God, how much money
does Adam Levine have?
Clearly a ton.
Is he like a billionaire?
Is there any news in the...
Did he publish? Did he get own publishing for all the songs? He must,
I'm
right?
sure he parted too.
Yeah, for Maroon 5? For sure. How did it say
maybe
why?
Maybe it's $30 million for 2 years, sorry. But still, it's just an insane amount.
To do no work.
I mean, what is it? The Voice? You just turn around and you say, yeah, you sound good. Here you go. I'm your coach.
Did he say why?
No.
I think it's a little more than that.
I don't think it is.
Just turn around and say, yep, here's $30
million. They're not doing shit.
He didn't say why?
No.
Like he wanted to focus on music and his
Does
wife?
He?
I don't know, dude. I don't think so.
I don't know.
He's probably just rich as shit. He's like, you know what? I don't feel like driving to set anymore.
I mean, he probably lives in Beverly Hills. I mean, he lives wherever. He has like three houses in
the
city.
Sold his house to Ellen for like $40 million.
And he bought two more.
Jesus. Okay. Well, I would probably quit too. Why be bothered?
Yeah.
My winner is Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Because not only is there so much hype, and that little kid from Stranger Things is like the new face of Saint Laurent, I think it is.
Wow.
Some high fashion. He looks real like, you know, heroin chic sort of thing. They're doing a collab with Nike.
Wow.
Big deal.
That is a big deal.
And I would say, I was trying to decide whether my winner was Nike or Stranger Things. I think Stranger Things is the one coming up here.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? It's like, that's a good...
That's a big look for them.
Yeah, it's huge.
Big look.
July 4th, right? That's when the show starts.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm excited. Okay, who's the loser? God damn it, D. You're the loser.
I am the loser.
Anand, who's your loser?
I'll be back. I'll be back.
God damn it, I forgot my loser.
Okay,
you start.
Listen, my loser. My loser is the Murthy Brothers. My loser is the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
I think that this Meek Mill thing has now turned into what looks like an official lawsuit, or one's coming, they're saying. They've had a whole week. They've had yet to be able to supply any sort of good excuse for why this happened. And I think, you know what? Like, it shouldn't happen regardless, but I think in the age of social media and, you know, these artists being the stars and they have direct communication to their fans, and, like, you can't act that way. The curtain's pulled back.
Yeah.
People know now how you act. That's not going to get swept under the rug, and I think they took a big old L this week.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. I found my loser.
Who is it?
It's the Democratic National Party.
Wow.
So, something has come out that the Republican Party was adamant on the 2020 census is trying to add, they did add into the 2020 census citizenship question to know your citizenship status. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're a naturalized citizen or not, and that has a huge impact on how counties are like, how do I explain it? Like, it's for gerrymandering, pretty much how they're outlined. Mm-hmm. So they can use that to their advantage to figure out how to organize each county that will help them get elected. And when you really look at like electoral college and you look at our national voting platform, it's pretty crazy. I understand that like everyone gets to vote, everyone has a voice, but majority of the people are still on the coast, but the middle of the country where sometimes there's not that many people, not much revenue generated, does have a very big impact on the election swings.
For
and
sure.
Gerrymandering is such a big problem in elections. And the fact that like these guys are so far ahead of like how to run the game. Uh-huh. Like, they've been talking about this apparently since 2015. Uh-huh. And so it's just getting out that this is what their strategy is.
Yep.
It's in our plain blind sight, and it's going to work.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely going to work. So the majority of governorships in the U.S. are Republican.
Yeah.
And the fact that the only way Republicans, this is actually just like pure data, can continue to keep a lead on Democrats, because if you look at how...
Demographics.
The demographics are shifting, like more Hispanics, like year over year growing than any other percentage of the population. Uh-huh. And Hispanics are generally more liberal than conservatives. So like the numbers just don't add up. Uh-huh. The only way Republicans can stay in power in like a real majority is through gerrymandering.
Yep.
It's just a fact. Yep. Because the data doesn't support Republican views and the population aligning. This is like, it's going to work in the near term. I wonder if it ultimately corrects.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
And people, I mean, if people aren't voting for the president, they're definitely not voting for the governor, right?
No.
No. Nobody's voting for that.
Yeah.
Our state legislator.
No, hell no.
Those actually matter.
Yeah.
That's what people don't get. Like, your state legislator actually impacts your life more than the president.
Yeah. Why do that when you can just complain about it on Twitter?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, we have potholes in front of our building.
Yeah. Let Netflix handle that.
Yeah.
Bob Iger. did you say you're a loser?
No, not yet. I have my loser.
Who is it?
The WeWork CEO.
He seems like a big loser almost every week. What do you do now?
So he put out this kind of empty statement, thinking like kind of very self-righteous, how he's not going to take money and encourages other companies to not take money from countries that are oppressive.
Seems valid.
Yeah.
Seems all of good moral standing.
He has taken $4.5 billion from the SoftBank Vision Fund. Uh-huh. SoftBank Vision Fund is by far the majority of the money comes from Saudi Arabia. Hmm. And that type of money shouldn't be coming into companies.
Easy to say after...
After you take $4.5 billion.
Yeah, damn it, man.
And I actually don't have I get you can't... I mean, some people can afford to take a stand, other people can't afford to take a stand. Mm-hmm. So I don't really have this like, oh, don't take SoftBank's money because it's backed by Saudi Arabia because, you know,
yeah,
it's really tough to like draw that distinction. Mm-hmm. But to come out and say this after...
Yeah, it's a joke. It's kind of like these guys complaining about Facebook.
Yeah.
After they made billions of dollars or hundreds of millions.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing.
Okay. Well, listen, that guy's a loser. And this is just, seems like a series of...
Loserness.
Loserisms. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What should everyone watch, read, listen to? What sort of content should people take in for the weekend?
So I just started watching it and it's really, really funny.
Okay.
Historical Roast by Jeffrey Ross.
Really? It's funny. It looks so cheesy.
It's literally all... So they roast a dead person and the three people roasting are also dead people.
Okay.
So like they roasted Freddie Mercury and it was Kurt Cobain, David Bowie, and I forgot whoever the third person was. Oh, Princess Diana are roasting Freddie Mercury. And then...
And they do good? It's not like...
I mean, there are some jokes in there and it's very inappropriate. Yeah. It is... crying, laughing stuff. So Jaleel's in two of the episodes, our buddy Jaleel.
Yeah.
He plays Nelson Mandela roasting Martin Luther King. Hysterical.
Really?
I gotta check it out.
I feel like Netflix is taking some risks with the type of stuff they're letting on.
I really liked it. I was literally watching him last night. I was crying laughing.
That's good.
Great.
Anand?
So I'm out of my content Game of Thrones marathon.
Yep.
So finally got back out of over water.
Out of your content cloud.
I just started the second season of Killing Eve. Love it.
Really?
Yeah.
What is Killing Eve?
What's that on?
It's on... I mean, I got it on iTunes.
Is that
iTunes
Margaret Cho?
No, it's Sandra Oh.
Sandra Oh.
So she's won an Emmy for it. Want to say it's like BBC or Hulu. Whatever it was, I couldn't find it, so I just had to buy the episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she is a MI5 agent in London, and... Without giving spoilers, there's like an assassin on the loose and she's been chasing it. It's really good.
And what does she do? She's the killer.
She's not the killer. She's trying to prevent.
And she's Eve. Who's Eve?
Yeah, she's Eve.
Okay. So they're killing her.
They're trying. They're trying really hard. And the whole show is about just trying. Mine is a little bit of a throwback, but also a TV show. I just, after so many of my friends, I love Billions so much. It's my favorite show probably on TV right now. So many of my friends who like Billions also kept urging me to check out Succession.
Oh yeah, I remember.
You were one of them. Leave me alone.
I was just like, whoo.
And I always, the first two episodes just suck.
Yeah.
And so I never made it past the first two episodes. I went back and started watching them and I love it.
It's really good.
I'm hooked. So if you're that type of, you're into that type of show, you should really watch it. Just get past those first two episodes.
Yes.
Guys, we did it.
Woo!
We got to go move some people to independent contractor.
And no snacks.
And we got to go clear out our snack drawer. Everyone have an incredible weekend. Make sure you hit us up on Instagram at Group Chat Pod. Mm-hmm. I'm heading to New York tomorrow.
Yes.
So we're going to have to do a little call-in situation for Monday.
But we'll have the episode out, people.
Yep. And then you'll be joining me out there. We have a big Microsoft. We have a panel with Barbara Corcoran.
Oh, and by the way, if you're interested in going, I just talked to the people over at Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
They're letting us invite 5 lucky guests.
Ooh.
So Barbara Corcoran was interviewing myself, Drama, and Coco and Breezy.
Yep.
And we can give 5 people. So if you're in New York, you own a small business, and you want to come out, hit us up on DM, and I'll pick or hit me up, so I'll actually check. Or Group Chat Pod. Will you check Gian, Group Chat Pod? Hit either one of us up. and we'll pick five people. Starts at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. Starts 6 sharp. So if you can make it, hit us up and we'll find five lucky folks.
Bingo. See you in New York. Guys, have a great weekend. And we'll be back on Monday.
Woo.
Bye-bye.